This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The second largest outbreak of Ebola has killed more than 1,000 people already in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And over the past month, new cases have increased at the fastest rate yet. However, some residents are suspicious of doctors and vaccines, and fighting between rebels and government forces is making containing the outbreak significantly harder. Last month, gunmen killed one World Health Organization doctor. And community leader Jamali Musa from Beni worries about the effects of the violence.
Insecurity will scare away the doctors helping to fight against Ebola. If they leave, then the virus will spread and it will kill even more people. It's a real danger.
You can join the conversation. What lessons do you think we learned from the last Ebola outbreak? And how can we help best contain this one? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And joining us now from Butembo in the Democratic Republic of Congo is Tariq Rebel. He is Emergency Response Director for the International Rescue Committee and has been there coordinating efforts on the ground for the Ebola outbreak. Tariq, welcome to On Point.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us today is Joya Mukherjee. She's joining us from Boston. She's Chief Medical Officer for Partners in Health and a professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. During the 2014-2016 West Africa Ebola outbreak, she was in Liberia and Sierra Leone, working with aid groups on the ground there. Joya Mukherjee, welcome to you.
Thank you, Meghna.
So, Tariq, first of all, let me turn to you there in Butembo. Give us a sense as to what you're seeing with the Ebola outbreak right now.
We've unfortunately seen a steady deterioration of the epidemic in the past 3 or so months, with the number of cases steadily increasing. And that increase is directly correlated with the increased acts of violence in those months. Towards the end of February, we had several incidents where the Ebola treatment centers in Butembo were attacked and set on fire, which led to Doctors Without Borders leaving Butembo at the time. And since then, we had the killing of Dr. Ishav, the World Health Organization, which you mentioned, in April, and we had another very serious incident a couple of weeks ago. These have led to constant disruptions to the work and also to an overall tension in the community that is really palpable, making it very difficult to work and causing the cases to increase.
Tariq, why are these attacks happening?
I think we need to, when we look at the security situation, we need to differentiate two things. One, there's been a general sense of tension in the community, which we can link to sort of possibly things that we see in many epidemics, which is that unless we're able to link with communities with a good engagement strategy, there can be a lot of misunderstanding, there can be a lot of confusion about the epidemic, about the way that the epidemic response works. And I think we unfortunately had that. I think a lot was invested on medical treatment and on vaccination, but community engagement possibly didn't receive the attention it deserved from the outset. And this has led to tensions around burials, around the vaccination, around Ebola treatment centers that we've seen. But most of the incidents that have come out of that have been more minor. They've been sort of eruptions of emotions by people dealing with those teams. The much more serious incidents fall into a second category where there seem to be that are operating and causing things to happen against the response that are very serious. They're not directly related to these community tensions, but obviously these crimes need to be prosecuted and the people brought to account.
Well, Joya Mukherjee, let me turn to you here because the last major outbreak, which began in West Africa in 2013, killed more than 11,000 people, ultimately.
Yeah.
So why do you, it was terrible. So why do you think, what is driving the level of distrust that I hear Tariq is talking about in the community now? Isn't there an even greater concern that we could have a repetition of the terrible 2013-2016 outbreak?
Yeah. Well, Well, I mean, thank you, Meghna, and thank you, Tarek, and the IRC for all this great work. Partners in Health is not directly engaged in Congo, but our chief medical officer from Sierra Leone is supporting the effort there with several groups on the ground. And I think your question is a really good one, Meghna. And, you know, what drives that fear? What drives that mistrust? Is any number of things. And if we think of the death toll in the Congo in the last 20 years that has been largely neglected by the West.
Millions and millions of people.
Millions of people. There have been efforts, very misplaced efforts that have harmed people from, you know, who was sheltered in refugee camps to, you know, what was the role of different armies and peacekeepers. So we've sort of looked aside at this, and, you know, Congo has been a neglected area. What we saw within Liberia and Sierra Leone is the health systems in these conflict countries, and remember that Sierra Leone and Liberia were not in active conflict, but 10 years or so post-conflict, is that the systems haven't worked for the people. The health systems haven't worked for the people for a very long time. They're underfunded. They've been destroyed. And so then you come to this very terrifying epidemic. And why would people anticipate that that the system would support them? Why would they? Mm-hmm. They have no really logical reason. Now, as Tarek is saying, you know, community engagement is key, but it has to be community engagement with treatment, because one of the things that really we feel, all of us, got the Ebola outbreak so out of hand in West Africa was, you know, there was not enough effective treatment. So it was hard to, you know, find cases and get people to go to these holding centers where they would definitely die. Now, what we hear, and I was just in discussion with our Dr. Lotto, who's there on behalf of PIH, is there is very good treatment. There's, you know, very high standards, the kind of standards we've been fighting for more than 5 years, IV fluids, medicines, checking of laboratories, and then the use of new medicines, which are critical, vaccination of contacts. So we're doing better on the treatment side, but not as well on the community engagement side. And I think this mistrust only can be mitigated through this combination, this important combination of community engagement and adequate treatment,
yeah,
and then understanding we've neglected this area for so long.
Yeah, so just to underscore that point, I mean, the millions of people who have died in the wars in the Democratic Republic of Congo, that you're right. I mean, the rest of the world has ignored for quite some time. And perhaps because of that, I'm seeing here reporting that, for example, in a particular region of the DRC, only 2% of those recently surveyed said they even trusted the national government. And so that's one of the reasons why perhaps conspiracy theories around the spread of Ebola have been able to take root. But Tarek, you're there in Butembo. Let me just ask you, on a day-to-day basis right now, I mean, have you been in situations where there's been tensions or fear for you and your staff members?
Absolutely. Actually, on during the killing of Dr. Shah on April 19th, it's actually in a hospital that we support for IPC work, infection prevention and control. And so we had six staff present and the driver while all that was happening. Then we had two triages that were burnt down, separate incidents in the Butembo area. Happily, no staff were present when the arsons happened, but it was very serious. So staff are dealing with those sorts of incidents, but then it gets even to the day-to-day sort of interactions they've had. Some of them have had to lie about being a nurse or a doctor in order to be able to rent a house, because real estate agents are worried about having spots, even being a potential client. So it's even at that level where you really feel it, and people are, you know, being careful. Our staff have to be careful sort of in day-to-day interactions. So there's been a lot of yeah, it's been a very tense situation to work in, and very difficult for everyone, I think.
Wow. Joya Mukherjee, is there a concern now, or perhaps has there been for several weeks, that even as the outbreak perhaps is more or less in one particular region, that it could spill over?
Yes. I mean, of course, and we do a lot of work. Partners in Health is very engaged in Rwanda, and I know all the countries neighboring Congo. You know, this is on the doorstep of several countries, and Rwanda is working actively in preparedness to try to make sure that we can find things quickly. And, you know, as there is more development, deforestation, et cetera, it's very complicated to control the epidemic. And that's what happened in West Africa. Many people have even linked the level of deforestation and increased movement of populations to the wide, you know, spread of the epidemic. So, of course, that is very important to think about. So, yeah, we're preparing for that in Rwanda. We're on high alert. Mm. I know other countries in the region as well, but this is a mobile population. There are many, you know, many people who go across the border for commerce, for other things. So, yes.
Wow. Well, we actually have some callers here, so let's go to them. Gideon is calling from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Gideon, you're on the air.
Yes, Megan, I'm a big fan of yours anyways. Yes. My comment is, we once had this Ebola in Liberia and Sierra Leone. And we had the vaccinations and the medication that were able to curtail it. So why don't the leader, the former leader of Liberia, Sarah Lee Johnson, Her Excellency, and her counterpart from Sierra Leone, fly over to the Congo and addressing the people that look here? We have this epidemic in our country,
mm-hmm.
and these medications that you are rejecting, they work for us. So what is the big deal?
Yeah.
At least with her feminine voice, I believe it will echo to the ears of the people, and then they can take it from there.
Yeah. Gideon, thank you so much for your call. So Joya Mukherjee, you heard Gideon there saying, mm-hmm. is there an opportunity for, you know, major African leaders like Ellen Sirleaf Johnson to lend their voice to build trust in the communities where the outbreak is currently going on?
Well, I would leave that question to Tariq, but I would say that I think Dr. Tedros of the WHO, who is a very well-known African leader, has made several trips to the region, has met with community leaders and others. I think those things can help, and I know that Dr. Tedros has just asked Ma Ellen, as she's called, to be involved in some of the universal health coverage work as well. But I think at the end of the day, it's really the long-term getting deep in the community. It's not as much about rallying people, but about really a long-term presence. But I would love to hear Tariq's opinion as well.
Well, Tariq, go ahead.
Yeah, I think we're actually at a very interesting point here, because one of the key issues we've had to deal with is the politicization of the response. You touched on the fact that only 2% of people trust the national government. And one of the key points of contention has been that led by a federal agency, by the Ministry of Health, in an opposition area. And even though the Ministry of Health itself has remained, has done its best to try to remain apolitical, the national election in December was cancelled in the end due to the Ebola epidemic, and a lot of this has led to a lot of a lot of people that lost their votes blaming the Ebola response and blaming this for being for us having a political agenda. We've also seen several different leaders locally, and we've seen, and that's why, like the caller said, is interesting in a different way. We are seeing that change right now, and we're seeing important leaders that are very respected here starting to speak out openly and saying, you know, this disease could kill us. One even made a reference to the plague in Europe and said, you know, it's only when people get together and start realizing how to stop infection that this can stop. Otherwise, you know, we're losing our people. And we really welcome that and really hope that the politicization of the disease will stop in all forms, because it definitely has had an impact in the past months.
Well, Tariq, your line is starting to degrade here. I hope it holds on for at least another 90 seconds. But Joya, I do have to ask you one more question, because this time around we have a vaccine that has been, an Ebola vaccine that's been given to, more than 100,000 people. Yeah. Certainly that's made a difference in trying to fight the current outbreak.
Yeah, I think there are multiple things that have made a difference. Vaccinating the contacts of everyone who's identified is a key infection control strategy. And as I said before, providing excellent care is also a key way to control the epidemic, because people come earlier and they're more likely to speak positively about their experience, obviously. But again, with all of this works when you have good systems. And, you know, we're working in a place that really doesn't have systems. And even the vaccination, of course, that can, you know, bring all kinds of concerns from people who are already having a lot of mistrust. So this work at the community level is critical.
Right. And at the same time, right now, we have frontline responders, those burial teams and volunteers and physicians, as we've been talking about, who are under such danger that they're trying to keep their work, in many cases, secret from even their own neighbors. So Joya Mukherjee, Chief Medical Officer for Partners in Health, and teaches infectious diseases at Harvard University, and during the 2014-2016 Ebola outbreak in West Africa, worked in close partnership with groups in Liberia and Sierra Leone. Joya Mukherjee, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Magda.
And Tariq Rebel joining us today from Butembo in the Democratic Republic of Congo. He's the Emergency Response Director for the International Rescue Group. Tariq Rebel, thank you so much for your work, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.